Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome to Look Live Rock Remnant Reality Radio. I am Shaliach Scribe. You are tuned in to Praise, Pray, Decree, and Declare. It is another awesome, wonderful, God-filled day that God has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Yeshua, right now we just come before you, ask you to clear the lines. We ask you, Father, that you would not allow anything that is not of you to get in the way, to distract, to dissuade, to discourage, to try to thwart the message that you intend to have delivered this morning. Abba Yah, we pray for a full release of your Ruach HaKodesh on the phone today. Complete full outpouring. With no hindrances, no issues, just free flowing all the Ruach. Abba Yah, we ask you to dispatch Malachim to you. Everywhere this message is going out, everywhere it's being spoken, everywhere it's being delivered, yeah, that they would be on guard watching over and assuring that this message be delivered in the power, with the power and authority that you set it forth to have. In the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Yeah, man.
God, we have love.
More power.
More love.
Lyak Scribe, and as I said before, you are listening to Love Live Rock Remnant Reality Radio, brought to you by Yahweh. You know, who else would you rather hear it from? Looks like we're missing a few people here this morning, but that's all right. We can work with that. We are going to jump into our Wealth of Wisdom study today. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 14, 25, 21 to 25. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, oh, how happy is he. If a person can look at someone and so completely disregard the humanity of his or her neighbor, should we be surprised that Yahweh would consider that a sin? Again, this should cause us to reach forward into the Kitei HaKodesh, the sacred writings, and examine the word deeper. Unfortunately, I'm not well-versed enough not to need software, and what I have is software. Go figure. Actually, today, as this was written before, in the day that I wrote this, it was not cooperating, believe me. It's a good thing this content is pretty threadbare, or I'd be at it until 4:30 in the morning, scouring book after book with what I need. We are commanded to love Yah with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. If we despise our neighbor, we are hating our own soul. We are deluding ourselves by thinking Yah will turn a blind eye to our mistreatment of others while expecting him to better hurt us in our unrighteousness. You see, we can't get what we haven't given him. Our neighbors, like them or not, get along with them or not, are made in the same image of Yah that we are. Are we to deprive them of the same kavod and mercy or nasad that we desire? Regardless of our current station in life, the mercy we show the poor may be shown us if our situation should take a turn for the worse. For the worse, rather. While believing mercy will come if that turn happens, it should not be our agenda. We should be happy. We have the extra to be able to touch someone else. Verse 22. Do not those who think evil go astray. Our harm and truth will be to those who think of good. This kind of hypothetical question Solomon has seen in his own life. What happens when people focus on evil? He probably heard all these stories about his father's journey to the throne of Israel many times. The dangers of thinking evil manifest in a person's life without them even realizing it's occurring. The sad, slow slide from grace will only stop when that person understands what they're allowing. Mercy and truth are found in Torah, as it is the only reliable compass away from evil. Hallelujah. Those desiring good or moral excellence need to watch that they aren't overtaken by self-righteousness or pride in the application of their sharing the benefits of mercy, because that slow slide can't pick up speed. Verse 23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tends only to poverty. Hear that again. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tends only to poverty. Now, I could spin off into a tangent and start talking about government, but I'm not going to, unless they focus. Work is good for the body and soul. I Am is not an unjust Elohim. He is not going to force us to work for our bread and deprive us of it. I am is not against wealth, so long as what we do with it matches up with his standards. If all you do is talk but never work, you'll soon find yourself in the poorhouse, debtor's prison, or under the thumb of attorneys and bill collectors. Talk is cheap. All it can buy is poverty. There is no action behind it. This reminds me of a song that still speaks to me. Thunder does the talking, but lightning does the work. The song was written by Chad Brock. Check it out. When was the last time you saw thunder bring down a tree? Don't let depression or uncertainty track you into inactivity. When you work, work with all faith, strong faith, knowing that it will be your benefit. Verse 24. The crown of the wise is their riches. The foolishness of fools is folly. Riches don't just come to the wise because gaining wisdom is a process. It takes work. Wisdom comes from applying what you're learning. Well, careless or intermittent application shows a lack of understanding, or a lack of understanding consistency. Like the lottery, wisdom is a numbers game. Playing the lottery, which I'm not encouraging, requires you to match a certain amount of numbers through the process of guessing or chance if you have a computer picked them. Wisdom, however, requires you to go through the numbers one at a time. Each number is a lesson to be learned. If you get the answer wrong, you get to repeat the question until you get it right. This could take a while. Speed is not always your friend, but being a good student can help expedite the acquisition of wisdom. Riches are gathered over time. Through right actions at the right time, or behaving wisely when the time calls for it, while doing life in a manner that pleases our Creator. But foolishness, behavior that is childish, or not thought out or poorly considered, is an expensive reality to live in. It affects both this life and the one to come. We hear people regularly say, YOLO, you only live once, which is folly, because in truth, we all live forever, eternally, somewhere. We live every day, we only die once. The last thing we want is to be careless on how we approach the subject of eternity. It's not a decision we want to make lightly or foolishly. It will end badly if we do. Verse 25. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. Witnesses that conform to an understood set of standards in a court of law will speak honestly of what they know. They won't embellish, they won't minimize, they will stick to the truth, regardless of the cost. Yeshua is such a witness. If witnesses aren't held to a very high standard, trouble ensues and there are penalties. Often these penalties are severe. In our court system, false or deceitful witnesses can receive sentences like the defendant. Scripturally speaking, bearing false witness also comes with a steep price if not repented of. Yahweh says liars will not make it into heaven. Being a false witness is the same as lying or speaking untruths about someone. That is not the company we want to keep. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba, in the name of Yeshua, we just thank you for this message. We thank you for the word that's gone out. And we just ask that you help us to find good soil, that it bear fruit. And Abba, that your expectations are met and exceeded. Abba, yeah, we praise you this morning. We thank you for all that you're doing, all that you've done, and all that you're going to do. In the name of Yeshua, the name above every name, our Messiah, the one we love. Abba, you are our deliverer. Thank you for everything you're doing. Yeah, we just put you, Abba, yeah. and we just, hallelujah. You are our all in all. I just want to seek you more, hallelujah. Here's some Becky Shea this morning.
Every time you come around, you know I can't say no. Every time the sun comes out, I let you take control. To late nights with you alone, conversations with your spirit, they're in my soul. Me and still we're moving fast, cause it's just how it goes. I've got nothing left to prove, it's you. I choose my best habit, see to white eyes, aware and awake. Yeah, I know you're in control, I need every word to say. When I'm looking for a way out, you help me escape. Miracles happen with you, it's true, it's true, my best.
Fresh new pink Awake hoodies in the store. I love them. I just can't thank you enough for your love and for your support. If you want to hear more of my music, if you want to download some of my covers from YouTube, or if you're simply just interested in supporting me so that I can continue to do what I'm doing, you could do so by partnering with me through Patreon and by clicking the link right here. And while you're at it, don't forget to click below and subscribe to my YouTube channel. I love you guys so much. I'm so grateful. And God bless you. Mwah.
Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, Yami. How you doing, my sister?
I am blessed blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. How is your morning?
My morning is going good. It's been a good morning so far. Yah is on the throne, and he's barukhatat us with another day. We got started. We got through the Wealth of Wisdom teaching, and now we're to you. So hallelujah. Bring it on in.
Okay, thank you. Father, I submit myself unto your Ruach and ask that as we look at the different ways that prayer works, it's obvious that we're to pray about everything at all times. And as we look into the book of Exodus, and we see that the people were so very heavy laden with the work that the Pharaoh demanded of them, and they were surely miserable, and they called upon Yah, and you heard them, and you said to them that you would deliver them. And then, Father, you chose Moses to be one to be the mouthpiece. And Moses says, "Oh, not me. I stutter." And so you allowed, because this in his prayer, in his communication with you, you let him have Aaron, his brother, as a spokesman, and you sent them, Father, to speak to the Pharaoh in regard to letting his people go. And Yahweh said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh." We're in chapter 8 of Exodus. Go to Pharaoh and say to him, "Yah send away my people." Yahweh tells you to send away his people, that they may serve Yah. And if you refuse to send them away, behold, I am about to smite you, your territory, with frogs. And the river will swarm with the frogs, and they will go up and enter into your house and into your beds and on your couches and in your servants' houses and on your people and into your ovens and into your kneading doughs. And the frogs will come up on you and on your people and on all your servants. And Yahweh said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the river, over the canal, and over the pools, and bring up frogs on the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the priests did go with their sacred ark, and they brought up the frogs on the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, pray to your Yahweh that he may remove the frogs from me and from my people. And I will send away the people that they may sacrifice to Yahweh. And Moses said to Pharaoh, glory, which is not the best word, but I guess, I don't know what to use for glory, but over me, for when I shall pray for you and for your servant and for your people, I guess that would be happy over me would be a better word to you. And for your people to cut off the frogs from you and from your house, that they may be left only in the river. And he said, for tomorrow, and according to your word, so that you may know that none is like Yahweh, our Elohim. And the frogs will depart from you and from your house and from your servant and from your people. They will only be in the river. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to Yahweh concerning the frog which he had sent on Pharaoh. And Yahweh did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died from the houses, from the courts and from the fields, and they gathered them in heaps and heaps, and the land stunk. And Moses said, all right, excuse me, now here's, you know, yeah, Pharaoh says, yes, I will let him go. But, you know, his greed's there. It never leaves and so, what happened? Moses prayed or communicated with the Messiah about it, and the frogs were relieved, were gone. And now it stunk because of all the dead frogs. And Yahweh did that, and they gathered them in heaps, and Pharaoh saw that there was relief, and he made his heart heavy, and did not listen to them, as Yahweh had said. He didn't listen to Moses and when Aaron spoke. And Yahweh said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust. So we're going to stop at that actual miracle of all these frogs taking over the land to show he's Yah. And then the Pharaoh literally lied and did not let the people go. What a predicament, you know. He's put his whole country in. So when even if we don't obey, if we agree we're being stubborn, we want something our way, Pharaoh, who wanted the slaves to continue to to do more labor and not labor and not be have the opportunity to serve their Creator, their Yahweh, and so he wanted the relief, yeah, but when he got it, then the frogs died and they were stinking still. It wasn't long. It didn't take a long time for him to say, no, I'm hardening my heart. He didn't say that. He did that. And then he did not obey. So tomorrow we will get at the next plague that came upon them. And I just want to note in this communication or prayer life of now Aaron joins Moses, and they heard already what was going to happen through the mouth of Yah. So Yah communicated to them and communicated to them what to say to the king. And then when it was done, Moses asked him, and he removed both plagues, that this plague of the frogs. And here we are back to the flesh again, back to his greed. So in prayer life, it's better for us to keep our word. If we don't, if something else will come, and tomorrow we'll see how what else happens with the king and all his domain, or the king, not king, Pharaoh, and all his domain. So Yah, let us be as Moses and Aaron and be busy about doing your work and seeing the results and not being like Pharaoh and watching watching the plague, but still when it's relieved, go right back to our old way. So I will pass and say amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for that, Yami. You are listening to Love Live, Rock Remnant Reality Radio. Praise Christ. Declare 4/1/2022. I am Shaliak Scribe, Shaliak of Love, leader of Emulators Motorcycle Ministry, and you are listening to Love Live. Hallelujah.
When Yisroel was in Mitzrayim's land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard that they could not stand, let my people go. Go down, Masha, way down in Mitzrayim. My people go, let us all from bondage flee. Let my people go, and let us all in Mashiach be free. Let my people go, go down, Mashiach, way down. water. Yahuwah gonna trouble the water. See that band all dressed in red. Looks like a band that Moses led. See that band all dressed in white. The leader looks like an Israelite. Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. Yahuwah gonna trouble the water. Yahuwah gonna trouble. 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 Yahuwah gonna trouble the water.
Get more music and motivation for your spiritual journey at setapartheart.com.
Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome back. That was Let My People Go. It just seemed right after Yami's teaching. Right now we're going to go into our rockism for the day. Delivered by the one and only Shalak of Love, Rev Rock. A man who's got wisdom, a man who's got love, a man who has been to hell and back, didn't like the accommodations, decided he wasn't going to stay. And we're grateful to have him here. And he has stuck around. He is the backbone. He has been the obedient foundation to what Love Live Rock, Remnant Reality Radio is becoming. Hallelujah. I give you Rev Rock.
Boker Tov, my achi. Hallelujah.
Boker Tov.
Thank you for the great introduction. I really appreciate that, and I really am humbled to have kind of failed my way to success, I guess would be a way to say it. It's definitely been a lot of failure to get to become something or someone, because I definitely really am nothing without the one who never fails. And that is our rockism today. People fail. Love never fails. Yahuwah is love. A Rev Rock, Ruach, rockism by Rock Rice. So to understand that Yahuwah never fails because he is love, and that love never fails, and to get that perspective right in our heads and in our hearts is a major part of early transformation and coming into this faith. We really have to put in perspective who we are without him, which without him we're failures in many ways. It doesn't matter if we have a lot of money and we're hard workers and different stuff like that. If we don't have him in our life, it usually is pretty evident very shortly once you start to get to know someone. You can tell the moral failures within a person. And again, you know, it doesn't matter how much money they have. It doesn't matter how many things they have. I have been around so many wealthy people that are filled with love, and I've been around so many people that are wealthy that are not filled with love. And I guess that's the kicker is, you know, did we get love inside of us? And when we get love in us, and it's the He in me, which we've talked a lot about over the last month, when that He in me or that love in me is evident, all of a sudden the successes start to accumulate within you. So if love never fails and you don't want to be a failure, it's probably a pretty simple deduction. Wow, I better get love in me then so I stop failing. And, you know, this is the essence, really, of the discovery and recovery of Set Apart Scripture Step 2, is understanding that it does come down to that one simple thing. I've been failing. I want to stop failing. How am I going to do that? Oh, maybe I need more love, more power, more of Yah in my life. More love, more power, more of Yah in my life. See, I kind of changed the words there. Michael W. Smith actually says more of you in my life. But realistically, it's more of Yah in my life. And, you know, really, if you think about as a brand new person, Marissa coming in to the program, the main thing that she has got to do and has to figure out, and which is why Yami teaches on relationship, if the relationship that she's teaching on is for prayer, is obviously our relationship with Abba Yah and learning to have more intimacy, like all these heroes of faith, from, you know, Moses to Abraham to Sarah to Isaac to Jacob. You know, all of them had to get more love, more Yah centered. Being Yah centered instead of self-centered is the major transformational change. That's what's going to happen, is your center point, what's in you, what guides you, what becomes your compass, it starts to become love instead of a selfishness. When you're in Yahfishness instead of selfishness, it's noticeable in the fruit, in the results. People see it. And they see that as success. They see that as one who's overcome and is overcoming all the negative, all the evil, all the bad. And all of a sudden, those things are not the prevalent part when you come in contact with a new person and they start to get to know you. They don't see that anymore. When you come in contact with a person that has known you, they'll usually say, wow, you're really growing. Wow, you're really changing. Wow, you're doing better than I've ever seen you do in your life. You know, this is the case with me and my wife. When I look at her today versus the person that I got with, you know, a lot of people don't understand that early on she said, well, I guess I'm learning to love. Because as much as she, you know, had love, and this was really hard for me because it's like, wow, I married you. I thought you loved me, you know. I was like, you know, how can you not know what love is? And, you know, because you're supposed to have this down and you're supposed to love me. And, you know, and it became for a minute, you know, a real self, you know, thing for me, like, because I want that other person to have Yahweh at the center and to be Yah-centered, you know. But when I look at how much she had the right desire, and that was, I need to learn how to love. I want to learn love. If Marissa gets that right up front, if she gets that early on, okay, what am I really trying to do? What am I transforming into? You're transforming into becoming the love. You're going to become, you're going to do love. You're going to be a doer of the word. You know, I tell people this often. When we started the House of Worship in Cudahy in about 2013, the House of Worship was grounded and founded in as a service, messages for over a year, once a week, over a year, once a week on Thursdays. We were led by the Ruach to teach on the nine fruits of the Ruach HaKodesh, love as being the first one. And week after week, Yah gave us a message on love. He showed us that we could talk about love yet again another week and have another scripture and another example to put forth in a message. We have all those messages recorded. We've never posted them publicly. Those are messages in the archives that we're going to start pulling out. We're going to be starting to put those on Spotify and different places. And we have so much content to share with the world that you've never heard before. Marissa could literally listen to, three sermons a day, morning, afternoon, and night, and grow without having any contact with any of us. But it's the real love that is in Scott Scribe Pratt and that is in Kim Pratt and is in Mike the Spike and Greg and Corey, all of them, that love of Yah that's in them that can pour back into Marissa as a live congregation that makes this an even greater equation. Instead of feeling that alone, I got to press play all by myself. I'm the only one here. I'm trying to get this without fellowship. It's a lot harder to experience love in action because as all of them are doing love and being love and that powerful force that's in all of them, in the little congregation, the ragtag group of emulators that Scribe has been able to pull together in that small little community, which is going to grow, and he is going to see people coming like magnets to steal into his place, into his ministry. His emulators will grow. They will get the clubhouse that he's dreaming of. They'll get the place to hang out. And it'll be something much better than an AA clubhouse because it'll be a Yahweh clubhouse. It'll be a place where people are coming together to emulate love. And we know that that is never going to fail. When we look at, you know, failure scriptures, there's like 68 failure scriptures. But never do we see Yahweh failing. Never do we see a failure on the part of love itself. It doesn't fail. It can't fail. It won't fail. It is the sureness that is in that that I know many people are looking for because they're sick and tired of being sick and tired of failing. Let's face it, it is not fun to fail. It sucks. It's horrible to fail. And I got sick and tired of being sick and tired at a very young age. And Marissa is relatively young herself. So she gets this, and you know, she's going to be turning her life around even earlier than what, you know, Sam did or what Scribe did. Scribe did. You know, Spike is transforming at a very young age. Not all of us gets it early on in life. And we go through many more years of failure, and that's a painful reality when we do finally find love, we finally find Yahweh, and we look back and we say, man, I wish I would have got clean when I was 40. I wish I would have started my transformation when I was 30. I wish I really would have started working on myself and transforming into the new creation and starting to emulate Yeshua when I was in my 20s, my early 20s. And, you know, for me, I did. And I'm so grateful and so I feel it very fortunate that I've had, you know, more years clean now, more years serving Yah now, more years ministering and loving others and spreading the love and scattering the love seeds, as we are told in the parable of the seed and the sower, which is a message that, you know, Marissa needs to listen to off of Spotify, because that one is up, and that is a very, very powerful message that Yah gave me, because it talks about the soils. And when we start to determine what is good soil, what does good soil really look like? Well, that has to be obvious, that it has to have love in the, you know, components of what's making that soil good soil. I would say when you put love in it, it makes it great soil. It makes it like the most high potency fertilizer. You know, I was looking at, I was going to tell Sam this story and I didn't get a chance to tell her because I was wanting to listen to Scribe's teaching the other night, and I started to tell her because I found it very, very fascinating, actually. But I didn't, because I really wanted to hear what he had to say, and he had a great message, so I'm glad I listened. But I went to Lowe's to pick up some fertilizer and some topsoil, because we got to get everything in the ground before we leave, because this is the planting time. It's actually, you know, March and April is when you really need to get your plants in the ground here, because we don't have snow like they had yesterday. We don't have any more freezing. We don't have we've got really beautiful weather. It was 86 yesterday. You know, I guess it's supposed to be 89 today. So we're almost hitting the 90s already. And springs are so beautiful here. And really, to address, you know, good soil and wanting to have some grass, you know, I want to have like half of the front yard grass and then, you know, the orange pea gravel, desert looking on the other half. But I'm kind of wanting like a Wisconsin, you know, grass look. Of course, when you got a palm tree on it, it doesn't look like Wisconsin anymore. But I want to have like half grass and half. That's what I'm doing for landscaping. And I haven't pushed it. I haven't rushed it. I haven't tried to get it done. I didn't want to invest a lot of money, so I'm trying to make it as natural and as cost effective as possible. So, yeah, two of the trees were free palm trees that I went and picked up. Of course, the amount of work and effort that I put in, they became a little bit more expensive of trees, but both of them lived. They've taken root, and we got them in good soil. I had to recondition the soil. My point is that the funny story, I go ahead and I want to buy a little grass to fill in the patches where it really kind of sucks. After I put a little bit of dirt and fertilizer over the top of some areas, but I got to clip it first. So I'm gonna get out my weed whacker because we really don't have enough grass for a lawnmower. So I'm just gonna get the high points, you know, of the crabgrass and bluegrass and whatever. And then there was this grass seed that said grows two times faster, kills the crabgrass while it grows the good grass, the bluegrass, and all this different stuff. And it said all this great stuff, right? So I'm like, oh, these are little bags. I better grab two of them right away. And I get to the checkout, and it's over $100. And I didn't buy a lot of fertilizer. I only bought one bag of soil, one bag of Scott's Turf Builder, right? It's over $100, and I'm like, excuse me, can you tell me if there's a mistake here, because I said I did not plan on investing $100 into my lawn. What's going on here? And then I said, I think I got the right prices on all this stuff, but I said, I didn't see a price for this. What is this little bag going for? And it was $42 a bag for grass seed. Okay. And, you know, I was just, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I'm like, $42 for grass seed. What the heck? You know, now some people obviously pay it, but when I had a couple from Australia was in the line behind me that had moved to the United States, and they were just like, the coming in the Australian accent and the jokes and everything, they had me laughing my butt off over this situation, because they would have never bought a $42 bag of grass seed either, you know? And my point is that the seeds that we sow, the high quality at the greatest cost, of any seed you can sow as you scatter your seed is the love seed. And it's worth even more than $42 a bag. In fact, the love seed is priceless. You cannot put a price on love, because 1 John 4:8 says Yahweh is love. So if Yahweh is love, and you know he's priceless, I mean, he's the most important thing. Love is the most important thing. Then you have to be able to look at the cost. And the cost came down to the blood of his only begotten Son, which we're going to be going into even the more as we get into this Pesach or Passover season, because we can't be looking at the cost when we're sowing our love into others, because the greatest cost for that love to get into us was the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. And that to me is just so incredible. It's so beautiful. It's so perfect, the way that he puts it out and the way he shares it in his kitveh. And that's why I wanted to own kitveh.com, a little too much Hebrew accent there in the Ashkenazi in me, I guess. Kitveh.com, because it's a .com, it's a top level domain, it's a TLD, and it's really what this all comes down to. That's what they called the word, the writings. We have to be able to see that these writings that we have, and that's why it angers me so much that they've been tampered with, these writings are him. He is the living word. Yeshua is this word that we reference, that we source, that we study. And what we're really doing is we're studying him when we study the word. And when we continue to bring it back to a perfect blood sacrifice that was an act of love that had a price beyond anything that could ever go. No greater love can any man do, or can any man give, than to lay down his life for his friends. Think of the cost of love. Think of the value of love. And that is the root of the fruit of love that is found and grounded in this rockism. People fail. Love never fails. Yahweh is love. A Rev Rock Ruach Rock Rockism by Rock Rice. This rockism is probably so simple, but yet so deep and wide, and carries such a weight that because it's so short and it's just such a, it probably falls on most of the people that would get hit with this rockism. It falls on them and they don't even really let it sink in. You know, oh, that's nice. Oh, yeah, that's really good. Oh, that. And they don't really see the power of love. And that it's never, ever, 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 ever going to fail. Because it took blood to be shed for the remission of your failures, your sins. It took blood. And that blood was shed because of the expression of our Abba Yah to us, of his love for us, because no greater love can anyone give than to lay down his life for his friends. Abba Yah, I pray that these good people that have taken time out of their busy lives to listen to this broadcast today, whether you are listening to it on Spotify, Google, or Apple, it doesn't matter. What matters is, did you get the point? Did you let all these many messages from these great ministers that you have chosen, these people that you have chosen to be your mouthpiece, to spread your love, to share your love, to teach your love, let it not fall on deaf ears. Let it not fall into a category where it's just like, oh, okay, that's nice. Let everything that's being scattered as seed right now around the world, from Germany to Ukraine to Russia and back on into the Middle East and on over to Asia and anywhere that someone presses play and hears your expression of love shared through the mouth of Scott Scribe Pratt, shared through the mouth of Yami, shared through my mouth, shared through Sam's mouth in the close of the promise of the day. Let your love be spread and let it spread into those people that have pressed play and are listening. Let those seeds of love come in onto good soil and germinate and grow and really, really have love growing inside them. I pray for all those people I've never met, to the nations. We are to, according to Acts 2, we are to take this message to this good news, this message this master's message, this good news, were to take to the nations, which includes becoming mikvah in love. When we're getting the mikvah of Ruach HaKodesh, we're getting immersed in love. I pray for these people to have the mikvah of Ahava, the mikvah of Ahava. I speak life into you that you will get the mikvah of Ahava. More love, more power, more of Yah in your life. More love, more power, more of Yah in your life. I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my strength. I will worship you with all of my mind, for you are my Yah. Hallelujah. Shalom.
If that was my cue to find music, I was in one place, and then he stopped, and I went looking for that song, and I couldn't find it. So, hallelujah. We will pick one here.
All you got to do is type in the word more.
I know. I did that. It wasn't there.
Well, that's surprising. Maybe I deleted it because...
So, here, we'll just do this one.
Of some of the other words in there, I don't know.
Here's some jars of clay and stuff. Love song for a savior.
In open fields of wildflowers, she breathes the air and flies away.
She thanks to Jesus for the daisies and the roses.
No simple language, someday she'll understand the meaning of it all. He's more than the laughter for the stars in the heaven, as close as a heartbeat or a song of her lips. Someday she'll trust him and learn how to see him. Someday he'll call her and she will come running and fall in his arms. The tears will fall down and she'll pray,
I want to fall.
I want to fall in love with you.
I want to fall in love with you. I want to thank Rock for that rockism. That's fantastic this morning. More love. Love never fails. Now it's my pleasure to introduce to you the woman that loves rock with everything she is, loves Yahweh even more. Well, Shalaya Stan, the name speaks for itself. We all know who she is. We all know what she does. And we all love her, so let's just bring her on. Shalaya Stan, hallelujah.
Good morning. Thanks, Drive. This is a good day. It's been a really great week, and you know, I appreciate everyone coming together and doing their part and really making this morning a great day, a great way to start our day with Yahweh. And yeah, we have really great seasons. I think we're in one of the best, and it's just wonderful to see everyone growing and sharing their love of Yahweh with each other. So hallelujah. I'm grateful to be here today. It is sixth day, and we are coming into Shabbat this evening. So today's promise is out of Matthew chapter 11, a very familiar verse, and it's, "Come to me, all those laboring and being burdened, and I will give you rest." Hallelujah. That's from chapter 11, verse 28. "Come to me, all those laboring and burdened, and I will give you rest." Hallelujah. A great word, great promise for a Shabbat, because, you know, we are commanded to rest on this day. So it's not only a commandment, but here it's a promise that says, all your worldly troubles, all your cares, all your things, I want to say things like anxiety, that's not from Yah, and guilt, shame, hurt, pain, all these things that you may be going through, Yeshua is saying, I'm going to take them from you. I want you to rest in me. He has the power to help you overcome and change any situation that you're in. And he wouldn't say, come to me, those who are labored and burdened, you know, those who are suffering. If he couldn't do something about it, he wouldn't be calling specifically those people. So he calls into the kingdom, and he calls into his fold those who are in a toiled place, a hurting place, a struggling place. And his love for us is so great. Just come, even though you're hurting, it's okay, come. I will give you rest. And the emphasis is on the I, Yeshua, I will give you rest. Because he has the power to do it. He has the power to change us. And that's what really gives us the rest, is when we come to a point of submission and surrender to his ways and his will. Because it's a whole lot smoother going in the flow with the Ruach and with the plan of Yah for your life than it is to not. You start going in another direction, you know what happens? He is always trying to lead us back. And things continue to go downhill in our lives and continue to be a struggle because we're not walking in the way that he wants us to be walking in. And I'm not talking about the works that were, you know, the ministry or the works that he has called for us. I'm talking about the relationship that he has for us. Like, we are his children. We could imagine just being held by him and comforted by him and protected by him. All the things that a child needs, security in their lives, those things he provides for us. He loves us so much. And he calls us out of our miry muck situations that are just going nowhere and are just causing a whole lot of havoc and pain and out there in the world and for ourselves and to ourselves. And we've done it. But the good news and the promise is I, Yeshua, will give you rest. And we've talked about rest before, rest in the course of a Shabbat. You know, true rest is really the absence of chaos. Yeah, that sounds really good. It sounds really good to people who are so used to living in drama all their lives, so used to dealing with one problem after another, just something's like, you know, always coming up. And I heard people proclaim it. You know, oh, it's just, you know, another problem. There's always something. And no, it's not always something. It does not have to be always something. There really is a place of rest that he wants to take us to, that no matter what happens, it just happens. It's just part of life. It's one of those things that Yahweh's going to work out. He's going to use it for his good. He can take a bleak, dire situation and turn it into something beautiful. I don't know how he does it, but I'm going to trust him. He can do it. I know that he can because he promises it. He will give you rest. How are you going to have rest if you have strife in your life? You're not. So he takes away the strife. So this is a really great promise, and I do hope that everyone takes a true rest this Shabbat from sundown this evening to sundown tomorrow evening. You know, we will be meeting in the morning, late morning, for a lunch brunch tomorrow and have our fellowship. But remember, today is the day now that we prepare for our Shabbat rest. So let's get our shopping done. Let's get our meal planning done. Let's get all the laundry ready, whatever we need for the next 24 hours. Let's really take advantage of that rest that he has for us and just rest in him this coming day. But remember that this rest that he has for us is not just for Shabbat. It's every day. He will change our lives, take us out of our strife and our troubles. Hallelujah. So again, it was chapter 11, verse 28, out of the HRB. It says, come to me, all those laboring and being burdened, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yahweh, for your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for this great promise of overcoming and shalom in our lives and the promise of knowing that we can have a better life. We don't have to struggle every day. You will take our burdens from us and you will give us rest. Thank you for this, you know, invitation to be a part of that and to enjoy that peace and shalom that you want for us. So I just commit this day to you. I pray that each one of us can be, you know, diligent and prudent in getting all the work that we need done so that we can honor you this Shabbat and really enjoy and be grateful for the rest that you're giving us for this coming Shabbat and just in our hearts. That we can have it all the time in our hearts, knowing that you have us. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise be to the great Yah Shamayim. Remember, you can support listener-supported Love Life Rock Remnant Reality Radio by sending your love gifts to give.yahweh.love. That's give.yahweh.love. And that is through the PayPal Giving Fund. Thank you, Elon Musk, for a no-charge system for registered and licensed and properly set up 501c3 nonprofit corporations, religious. We're not really religious, but, you know, whatever you want to say. We have to follow the laws of the land, and that's what we're classified under, and therefore we are able to process your money that you are giving without a fee. And that's pretty cool. So we appreciate Elon Musk and the PayPal system for doing that. So again, you'll go through the PayPal Giving Fund at give.yahweh.love. That's give.yahweh.love. And we surely respect and appreciate your support at all levels. We also would receive any volunteers that would like to volunteer and help and give that way of their time and their efforts. And you can write us. And in fact, if you want to write us and talk about how you want to give away land or you want to give away tractors or trailers or different things to the ministry for future properties that we are developing right now to be able to put together clean communities, Faith Favor Farms, House of Worships, Home of Shaloms, and Love Centers, an inner city missionary of love to the inner core of a city. We want to bring love to the core of a city. So we need volunteers for all of these different types of facilities. Even sometimes it's just someone to be able to be the security and make sure that there is no lawlessness happening within our realms, within our ranks. And believe me, that would have been very important for me to have a volunteer more often at the Love Center in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, because the doorbell rang all night and I had to be there. I found myself running 21 hours a day, probably sleeping 3 hours a day, one or two hour power nap here and there in between just to keep myself going. Because my volunteers that said they would be there when I started it never showed up. So we really appreciate your support here at Love Live, Ruach Remnant Reality Radio. This is our Reach the Nations network. This is our place where we can speak to anybody and everybody that will hear, let them hear what the Ruach has to say unto the congregations. Again, more love, more power, more of Yah in our lives. I'd like to thank our Yajay for Yahweh today, Shaliach Scott Scribe Pratt, brought in the rain today. It was a ladder rain of Ruach HaKodesh and fire that was coming on in all morning long. And I so appreciate having help and him volunteering at that level. He is not a paid minister, just so you know. So your support definitely can help to offset costs, because otherwise not only are we not being paid as ministers, Yami nor San, you know, no money's going to them for their volunteering, their messages, their heart, their time, their study, their research. So it really does help when there are love gifts coming in. It encourages us. And it definitely all at this point really just goes right back on in to the people in need. And we always have more needs than what we have love gifts. So please, your love that is in that gift is a huge, huge, powerful, powerful thing. So let's pray for more love, more power, more of Yah in our lives. Hallelujah.